Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If there were a dreadful cancer working its way through our bodies, we would certainly want to know about that before it was too late, wouldn't we? Knowing the truth about something like that with enough time to do something about it would be extremely important for our physical well-being. But even more crucial than our physical well-being is to know the truth about our spiritual condition, since that is a matter of eternal life or death. Wouldn't we want to know the truth about that condition before it's too late? That raises an important spiritual question in connection with our gospel reading that we just heard. That question is, who has eternal life? We have a very personal vested interest in finding out the answer to that question because it concerns our eternal well-being. That answer will determine our attitude and our response both to ourselves and to the whole world around us. Who has eternal life? How can we tell? Well, there's really no chance for us to find out the answer to that question unless God himself reveals it to us. Unfortunately for us, God has clearly informed us about that in his word. In our gospel reading today, we're told, the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. There was hostility against Jesus because of what he said. To claim that he originated in heaven, in other words, that he himself was equal with God the Father, that kind of claim would have been blasphemy in the eyes and ears of the Jewish people if it were not true. Some of Jesus' hearers that day could simply not agree with Jesus saying that. They were focused more so on how he appeared to them and what they knew of him. He appeared simply to be one of them. He was born in the same place, in the same region that they were born and grew up. He was born of earthly parents. To their eyes, he appeared to be merely a human being. And so we read, they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? So how can he say, I have come down from heaven? Well, Jesus' very obvious human nature prevented them from perceiving his divine nature. It prevented them from understanding his claims about who he is and what he came to do. It prevented them from seeing the connection between the miraculous things he was doing and the truth about those claims that he made. There were some people in that crowd who were listening to Jesus in the day in our reading, who just the day before had been miraculously fed so that they were full and there was plenty left over from just a small amount of food. But now for them, Jesus' human nature became a rock of offense over which they stumbled. And as a result, they did not possess eternal life, at least not at that moment, because they could not see him as the very essence of eternal life that he is. Now, of course, it is a critical truth that Jesus is true man. If you remember from your confirmation class instruction or from what you've heard from God's word over the years since, Jesus had to be a true human being, because if he had not been a true human being, he would not have been able to put himself under God's law as our substitute, perfectly obeying all of God's law in our place. Nor would he have been able to become sin for the whole human race, past, present, and future. Nor would he have been able to become our substitute, suffering and paying for our sins on the cross. But that is exactly what he did. He was sent by God the Father for that very purpose. The Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 4, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. because Jesus carried out his mission as a real human being, it is possible for every human being to have eternal life. There are many people in our society today who follow in that those same footsteps of those people that we read about in our gospel reading today who grumbled at Jesus. They are blinded by an impenetrable veil that covers their perception and their insight into who Jesus really is. They can simply not accept him as true God in the flesh. They can only see his human side. This is true both of Jews still today who are unable to accept Jesus as the true Messiah, the Savior of the world. And also it's true of those who only see Jesus as a good moral example or teacher to follow, a great human being who was able to realize his true human potential much more than the average person, someone perhaps on a level similar to Mother Teresa or Gandhi or Buddha. Some others see Jesus only as a God or as a human being who was able somehow to achieve some level of divinity higher than the average person, but really not on the same level as the supreme being, God the Father. But anyone who sees Jesus only in these terms simply does not have eternal life. The basis for eternal life is destroyed if we reject Jesus as the true God-man who came into the world to win salvation for us by his death and his resurrection. Jesus has eternal life. As he says, he has seen the Father, and he is from God. He himself is true God. God the Father lives forever. He is the source of all life. Thus, Jesus also has eternal life as part of his very being. In the letter to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul describes it this way: God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is, in Jesus. And in 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John gives us the testimony of God the Father about Jesus. This is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So since he has eternal life in himself, Jesus can rightfully make the claim that he does in our reading, "I am the bread of life." In common, understandable words, Jesus compares himself to consumable food, to bread that a person is able to eat and internalize and digest. But he distinguishes between ordinary food and himself. He said to those Jewish people that day, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died." That bread, even though it was miraculous food that God had sent for them from heaven each day, yet it was only able to sustain their lives for a relatively short amount of time, and they had to keep eating it day after day, but still in the end, they eventually died. But Jesus says that he is the true living bread that gives and sustains life so that anyone may eat it and not die. And Jesus continued, "If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever." As the one who is eternal life himself, it was Jesus' mission to make that eternal life available to everyone in the world. Jesus gave his human flesh into death in order to save the world and give life to the world. He laid down his own life as a ransom for us. The wrath of God consumed that bread instead of consuming us, enabling us to escape the horrible consequences of God's wrath and punishment upon sin. Jesus gave his own flesh in place of our fleshly sins when he sacrificed himself on the cross in our place. And then Jesus conquered death with his return to life. He thereby brought life and immortality to light for the entire world. If Jesus were not alive, no one could receive new life here on earth or possess eternal life in heaven. Jesus promised that on the last day, he would raise up to new life all those who come to him. How could Jesus make such a promise if he himself had not risen from the dead? But he did. He really died on the cross, and now he really lives victorious over death and able to raise the lifeless bodies of all those who believe in him. If a person who possesses nothing himself promises to give us a fortune, he will be able actually to deliver nothing in the end, no matter how convincingly he might speak to us and persuade us. With Jesus, it's different. He truly possesses eternal life because of who he is and because of what he has accomplished. And he is able to give it to us. And he will come through on his promise. He promised that the one who believes in me has eternal life. One who merely believes? Well, this word believe that Jesus uses here means more than just knowing some facts in our heads. It means truly eating that living bread from heaven. His words were understood by some who heard him to mean some sort of cannibalism, of actually taking his flesh and eating it. And so we read that many of them took offense at what he said about eating his flesh, and many of them turned away and stopped following him. However, we see that what Jesus means by eating his flesh is to receive him into our inner spiritual selves through faith. It means genuinely trusting in Jesus personally as the bread who is able to give us true and eternal life. It means having faith in Jesus, not just an obscure faith in somebody or something. And by that faith in Jesus, to lay claim to everything that Jesus has done for us. So everyone who has Jesus in their heart through faith also has eternal life, as Jesus says. Now, that kind of faith does not come naturally or automatically. Jesus tells us in our reading, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Everyone who listens to the Father learns from him and comes to me." Coming to Jesus is another way of simply saying believing in him. It is impossible for us to conjure up that kind of faith by our own strength or by our own human thinking or reason. No, first God the Father must draw us to himself through his word. As God said through his prophet Hosea in the Old Testament, God draws us with cords of kindness and with ties of love. He draws us by means of the good news of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Jesus once said about his death on the cross, "I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself." All who have heard this message of Jesus' death and resurrection and who have believed in him as their Savior have eternal life. At that moment that we believe, by the grace of God and by the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we have eternal life. We have it right now, fully in this life. But yet it is not yet completed. In the final phase of this eternal life, we will be with God in heaven to live with him forever and ever. As long as we believe while we are here on this earth, we will always have eternal life. Having eternal life means living this life, even surrounded by all the problems and difficulties of life, by all the pain and fear and suffering, yet living this life with a smile, knowing that God's promises are faithful and true. We have that sure base, that firm foundation from which we are able to cope with everything that that life throws at us and to overcome by God's power and grace. We can even rejoice, even in the midst of great suffering, even when we're facing death, because we know that God has promised us eternal life through Jesus our Savior. And so that deep peace that we have in our hearts is unshakable, because our hearts are set on the living God, who has given us the down payment and the guarantee of our life that is to come with Him in heaven. We who have eternal life have a deep conviction and a strong inner compulsion to respond to those who do not yet have eternal life by sharing this good news of Jesus with them wherever they are, so that they also may be drawn by God the Father, and that they may also have faith in Jesus and be given eternal life. And so we have now answered that vitally important question that we began our meditation this morning with. Who has eternal life? Well, now it should be clear to us that all who have been drawn, who have been taught by God's word, everyone who comes to eat and digest the truth of this good news of our salvation through Jesus, everyone who internalizes that through faith has eternal life. We believe in Jesus as our living, resurrected Savior. And so we share in that eternal life that He has won for us. May God grant that we continue in that eternal life, that we live in it each day and rejoice in it, and that we share it with others. Amen.